He's strategic.
A lot more pistol formation.
He's energetic.
You're a damn good football team.
He's poetic.
Gobble, gobble, turkey from Jive Turkey Gobblers.
Big fan of the Judge Judy show.
He's as tough as a $2 steak.
He's iconic.
Who's got it better than us?
He's Harbaugh.
Good morning. It is great to wake up to the Rockford Files.
With Murph and Mac.
Yeah, Jim Harbaugh going to be connecting with us real soon on the Ring Central guest line. Pauly, while we are making the connection, I might as well tell you that the Jim Harbaugh Show is brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. It's also brought to you by Porcelanosa, providing you with all of your kitchen, bathroom, tile, and floor needs. Stop into Porcelanosa San Francisco or San Jose showrooms, or go to porcelanosa-usa.com. It's fun to say.
Porcelanosa. You're doing it well.
Porcelanosa. I think I visited there when I went to Italy. Porcelanosa.
Did you?
It's a beautiful town.
Yeah.
On the
polenta.
On the Amalfi Coast,
yeah.
Pauly. But anyway, they're getting extra bang for their buck. It's also brought to you by Dr. Scott Hiver, the official eye doctor of the San Francisco 49ers with offices in Daly City, Santa Clara, and San Ramon.
Hey, while we're waiting for Coach, I have a little factoid for you. You know what I found out about the Rockford Files, since Harbaugh's such a big Rockford File fan? Guess who used to work as a writer for the Rockford Files for many, many years, and then went on to superstar status later on HBO, was David Chase.
Really?
The creator of The Sopranos. One of
really?
His early gigs in showbiz was writing for the Rockford Files. I just found that out the other day.
How'd you find that out?
I was just reading some piece about Chase, because he did this piece as he did a movie called Not Fade Away, which I rented. I don't know if I told you that.
How was it?
It was good. It was good. You got to be like kind of a rock and roll type.
Gandolfini?
To be into it. Yeah, Gandolfini's a conservative father set in the early 60s. Pecan, you might get a kick out of that. Not Fade Away. A little bit of a love story, a band that didn't make it out of the garage kind of thing. But it was cool, not great. Anyway, so I was reading the thing about Chase and said he was a Rockford Files guy.
He's the guy. Now, that's Aaron Sorkin. Who's the one that does all the West Wing stuff?
Yeah, it's Aaron Sorkin.
Sorkin, okay.
Sorkin and Chase. Chase did Sopranos. Well, when we hook up with Harbaugh, who's not at his office right now, he would probably say that's why The Sopranos was such a great show, because it had the greatness of the Rockford Files sprinkled on it.
That's what I'm saying. Who knew? And you know, Coach Harbaugh was right again. I mean, who knew that the Rockford File thumbprints were all over The Sopranos? I didn't know that.
It's all good. Do we have the connection? Here has been made with the man himself, the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, Jim Harbaugh. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Hey, Coach.
Good morning.
How are things down in Santa Clara this morning?
Good. Good. Guys are working away.
Yeah, so what? The new CBA schedule is different. Are you guys... Tuesdays used to be an off day in the NFL. No more. Are you guys at work today?
We're at work today, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, the players, are you guys practicing, et cetera?
Yeah, players will be in for meetings, and we'll have a workout today.
When's their off day for their body rest then? Is it Monday or?
It's Monday.
Okay. But when you were playing, it was Tuesdays, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Any change for that? Any change to the rhythm that you see a positive or a negative to that?
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to go all into it, but we think it's better for us. It's the way we've been doing it for the last couple of years. You know, it's different than everybody else, but so what?
Good man, good man. So have you turned the page in your mind from Green Bay to Seattle, or are you still rolling around in your mind the Green Bay game?
Seattle.
And all that it entails? Tell us what you're thinking.
Well, it'll be another Rock'em Sock'em football game, just like last Sunday. And excited about that. Excited about our team played another tough, physical, rock'em sock'em game.
Yeah, I mean, this one has all the earmarks. I mean, you know, have you heard that they're talking about making it the loudest stadium in the history? They're
got all the earmarks, Murph. Yeah. Agree.
Don't you like that phrase, all the earmarks?
I do. I like it.
Yeah. Got all the earmarks, yes.
Pretty much puts it in a nice, tidy box.
Yeah,
it does.
Well, so, I mean, you know, is it hard to kind of view it as one of 16, given that it has all the earmarks?
We always look at the next game being the most important game of the season. The next game is the biggest challenge of the year. So that's how we look at every game. That's how we look at the next game. And so, yeah, it has all those earmarkings this week and every week.
When you guys went up there last December, it was obviously an unfortunate day that was no good. Is there anything you guys can take from that and learn to get better from?
You gotta be at your best when you're playing the teams that are the best in the league, and if you're not, then you're gonna get beat. So, yeah, absolutely, not turning the football over, playing our best football, is what it's going to take to win these kind of games.
Obviously, so much comes down to the quarterback, and he was very upset, Colin Kaepernick was last year after that game. And then he's coming off a brilliant performance against Green Bay. Is he a different guy going into week two in Seattle than he was last December in Seattle? And if so, how different is he?
He's the same. He's the same guy. Colin has not changed as a person. And the great thing about him, he's his own person. And as a football player, he's been through some experiences since then. I think he is. I think he's an improved football player and getting better every day, every week. So we're like I said. I mean, all the things you talked about, all the things you're going to talk about. We're excited to go play this football game. It's gonna be another great game.
So listen, we thought
playoff caliber football.
In September, which is incredible too, by the way. So we spent a lot of time this morning talking about your comments about Clay Matthews, and it was really, I mean, you just don't hear NFL coaches be as open and honest as you were in calling out another player. Often, coaches tend to, go the other way or just distract something else. Can you talk about, maybe explain to the listeners out there that your strategy in, really calling out Clay Matthews, personally?
Yeah, there's no strategy. It's just speaking the truth as I saw it and believed it to be. And really plowed that ground about as thoroughly as it can be plowed, and now ready to move on to Seattle.
Have you gotten any blowback from it from around the league?
Blowback? No, I haven't gotten any blowback. That I know of.
So we're going to make a list, by the way, of the words you like. Last week it was gleaning. This week it's earmarks and blowback.
It's always
right?
going to be the Brian Murphy word of the week.
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Maybe we can give away
yourself a pat on the back, Murph.
Maybe we can give away a prize to the word of the week. How's that? Like to a listener who identifies Harbaugh's favorite.
We give away tickets, actually.
Come over the word of the week and then take a deep long bow.
Well, here's the deal. At the end of the interview, you'll tell us what was your favorite word, and then later in the week we'll quiz a listener and give away like a sweatshirt or something like that.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Coach, I want to ask you about going up to Seattle. Everybody hearing, always hearing about the home field advantage, the noise factor, all that stuff, how hard it is to get the plays in. So I know it's week one, but there were some clock management issues there where some timeouts were called as the clock was expiring. So how much of a concern is that going up to this atmosphere, which is going to be, going the other way for them against you guys?
Well, we got to get better in that regard, and we really have. Maybe it didn't seem like it to you and some of the fans, but we've gotten better at that. Cap's gotten really good at it, and we'll do a better job as coaches getting the plays in quicker. But I'm looking forward to that challenge because I know we're better at that phase of the game, but you're always looking to get better.
Okay, Seattle, 12 points in Carolina. I mean, that's not the high flying Russell Wilson offense we thought. What did Carolina do to them that stymied them so, and that maybe you guys can do too?
I wouldn't say that they were stymied. That's your word there. They're a tremendous offense. I think they have one of the best running games, if not the best running games in the league. And Russell Wilson, really, to contain him is the word, because you're not going to completely shut him down. He's just too good in and out of the pocket. Fine receivers. Doug Baldwin had a great game last week. Made some big plays. Sidney Rice, the same. They're really good because they both can run and throw the football effectively.
Yeah, well, obviously, and got them deep into the playoffs last year. Came one kick away from coming out to Candlestick for the NFC Championship. We're talking to Jim Harbaugh, the head coach of the 49ers, on the RingCentral guest line. We have to ask you, Jim, about the static that goes on around the game. And Richard Sherman was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. He's one of your former players. Mm-hmm. And they were being as competitive as heck with their quotes, that they really have a rivalry with you and want to beat you, et cetera, et cetera. I'm just wondering, do those words affect you at all, given that you coached those players and, now they're coming at you, as it were?
Well, in terms of Richard, I have long good memories of when we were teammates. Now we're competitors, and that's football. That's competition. That's winning. So that's how I look at it.
does it even like the comment? I think it was Browner who said he would put his hands around your neck. That was an awfully vivid image. Does that make you sort of chuckle or anger you, or does it add to the storyline this week?
Made me just chuckle. So yeah, it's football. It's competition. It's winning.
Okay, very good. A couple more from Sunday's game. The running game, I guess, you know, Frank Gore, obviously, as you would say, well-documented how good a player he is. 21 carries, 44 yards. Do you think the Packers sold out to stop the run, and that opened up the pass for you?
Well, the pass game was very effective. The running game, it wasn't the big 300, 200, 150-yard numbers, but... Again, Frank Gore, I mean, some of the most impressive runs that I've seen in his ability to, you know, turn the one-yard run into a four-yard run. There's a beauty in that. You know, there's just nobody who does it better. Gets low, keeps his balance, keeps driving the pile. The leg drive is really incredible. And also Kendall Hunter had a big play there in the fourth quarter that on our game-winning touchdown drive. So it was. There were tough yards. I'm not arguing that, but they were very, very needed and very effective. Set up the play-action pass, and then you know, we did some damage throwing the football.
Coach, also going back to the Green Bay game for a second, the debut of Anquan Boldin in a Niner uniform, unbelievable. What a performance. Maybe not unbelievable to you, but, I mean, wow, what a performance with the 13 catches, having such a huge effect and impact on that game. When the league looks at this, and everybody saw this and everybody talked about it yesterday and today, is it harder to keep that kind of connection happening when everyone's going to start focusing in? Now, obviously, we got to pay attention to Anquan Boldin. Not that they wouldn't, but maybe more so now than before.
Well, he was receiving some double coverage in the game against Green Bay on third down and in the red zone, and yeah, that he could see more of that in the coming weeks. But you know, as far as that's really what we've been seeing in training camp. But yes, it was astonishing just how good he is, and what a game guy. They talk about game players, big time players. That's Anquan Boldin, but he's also a big time practice player. And you have to pull him back. He wants to take so many reps in practice, and then the next thing is he's a team guy. I mean, he wants the offense to be good. He wants the team to win. He wants Cap to be as good as Cap can be. He wants to make the other receivers around him as good as they can be, and he wants to win. And that's what a guy. This is a one-of-a-kind guy, Anquan Boldin.
Pretty good pickup there, and it worked out already, 1-0. And finally, Jim, we know you got to go, so just wrapping up on the kind of the big-picture question in the NFL. When the games were done last night, 7 touchdown passes in Houston, San Diego. Chip Kelly ripped off 53 plays in the first half. Is the offensive revolution here? It's done? I mean, is this the league you played in almost doesn't resemble the league that we're seeing today in 2013. Is that the way it looks to you?
Oh, I mean, it's just 1 week. You know, there's some pretty good throwers back in the days of Dan Marino and Elway and the rest of them. So no proclamations. I know things have a tendency to even out.
Just even with the stat that Elias rolled out this morning after that Houston-San Diego game ended last night, 63 touchdown passes were thrown, more than any week in the history of the NFL, right?
Uh-huh.
So doesn't that verify the concept that this is a different world than it used to be?
I wouldn't say it's a different world, no. But it's evidence that there are more touchdown passes been thrown this past week than in any other week in NFL history.
Okay. All right. All right, Jim. We appreciate the fun, the sword play, the verbal sword play. And we will talk to you next time. How's that?
Sounds great.